What I want to talk about today is why we watch like so many seasonal anime and why people listening should watch seasonal anime.
I don't have an answer for that. So.
Welcome to your favorite financial advice podcast, by the way. Yeah, crypto probably should not be like a massive part of your portfolio as just like a normal person. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mumi.
What a transition.
And today, guys, we're talking about the top 10 stocks you need to invest in right now.
No, we're not.
Mumi, what are your top 10 anime stock picks for spring 2025?
Oh, those kind of stocks. I'm talking about
like actual, like, are you like, where, like, what are you invest, like Tesla, Zatsutabi?
Oh, no.
Is there a seasonal anime betting market? There has to be, right? Someone let us know if there's like a seasonal anime like betting market.
I mean, you got the fucking like Mal season thing. Does that count?
Yeah, I guess kind like you can bet on like what ends up being like the biggest thing of the season.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
But I don't know if that involves real money. And if there's like, if I could not potentially just financially, you know, just run myself into the ground, complete destitution, I don't see a point, honestly.
True.
You know,
fair.
No risk, no reward.
No pain, no gain, therefore, baby.
You know, therefore, if you think about it, you know, no risk, no reward, therefore implies the highest risk, the highest reward. So I'm going to kill myself right now. That's 100% risk. So there must be like an extreme reward, right? If I like strap a bomb to my chest and die in the name of Allah, I must get like the highest reward possible of like 72 virgins or whatever.
It's unfortunate this is not a video podcast where my reaction cannot be conveyed.
Who's just completely horrified right now. What are we talking about? Let's talk about anime specifically. Why we watch so much seasonal anime? Like, how many seasonal anime are we watching this season? A lot.
23.
Something like that. Like, some of those are, like, TV shorts, granted, but it's definitely over 20.
I haven't even started the sequels yet.
No, and it's like, we do this every season. I feel like we watch a ton of stuff every season, but even in past seasons, it's like, we end up with, and this may end up being the case with this season still, but like last season, for example, we watched like a ton of stuff and there were some things like partway through. We're just kind of like, yeah, there's not really much point in us still continuing this, but we just kind of did anyway. This
some
season,
cost fallacy kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know if that's going to happen with this season. Cause this season's really damn strong. It's like 20 some shows and like they're all really damn promising on it, except Lazarus. We'll talk about like specific shows in the next episode.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about today is why we watch like so many seasonal anime and why people listening should watch seasonal anime.
I don't have an answer for that. So.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well,
thanks for coming, everyone.
Well, thanks for listening to the episode. This will be about 5. We don't want to keep you guys for too long. We like to value your time. It'll be a 5-minute episode, but it's like, I don't know. Why do we do? Because, like, I mean, in part, we just really like it. Like, we wouldn't pick up 20 shows if we just didn't like them. Like, there's no point in.
Right.
Unless it's, like, a really popular show that we kind of, like, need to, like, talk about and focus on a little bit. There's no point in, like, watching something we dislike, really. So we're only going to watch, like, as many shows as we like in a season.
That's. It feels like a lot of people just watch stuff purely from, like, the communal aspect of being able to take part in the conversation. Like, people are gonna pick up Lazarus just so they could talk about watching Lazarus this season, and it's just like, okay.
I mean that is a part, like, I mean, can we really dog on like watching stuff for communal reasons
I'm saying like that is the only reason they're watching anything this season. That is the only shows they're watching is that, like, sure. If, like, you know, there's something that you're, like, okay on, but you're going to get more out of it because it's, like, talked about in larger spaces. That's fine.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm assuming you're watching other stuff you're enjoying. It's not like you're just picking up Lazarus because other people are talking about Lazarus, and otherwise you're just going to be watching Bebop for the 8th time or something.
Which, I mean, you're already watching Bebop for the 8th time if you're watching Lazarus, let's be real. It is just Cowboy Bebop, minus all the stuff that makes Cowboy, minus all the spice.
You gotta save your hot takes for next episode.
But yeah, like why do we, like, I feel like part of the reason we probably pick up like so many shows a season is also just due to the fact that, I don't want to say we have lower standards, but our like cutoff threshold is probably low. Like a lot of people just like, most people are going to watch like only a handful of shows a season, if that, and they're really only going to pick up like the stuff that like they think they could really, really love. Whereas for us, I feel like we're almost approaching it from just like a strict sort of matter of like, yeah, no, this looks good. It doesn't necessarily need to be like, this will be like a new favorite of mine or anything, but
you see, the problem is we like anime.
This is true. We like maybe too much, honestly. We keep backing ourselves into the, like, every season it's like, oh god, what have we done?
What have we done?
Why have we picked up so many shows? Fuck.
It's
help.
Like, I wouldn't say it's a lower standard, because like,
yeah.
I would say that my standard, if you're talking like by metrics of comparison to one another, I don't know if my standards are much different for other people's, right? Like,
if anything, we may be more like just overall critical than probably your average person.
Possibly. Yeah. Like, because like people, when you take into account that people are going to be watching like Fire Force or something, and like there are going to be episodes that aren't the greatest, and they're going to be like, well, the whole show is really well animated. We would take that on more of a microcosm level and be like, well, this episode's not as good. This or we'd be more critical than they are, but they are more critical as far as the barrier of entry, but it's more arbitrary.
Right. It's like we have a, I don't know, maybe it's like we have like a capacity to enjoy more things, but in order for us to like, in order for it to like reach like the upper edge, like an 8 or a 9 or whatever the hell, is like really, really hard. You know what I mean? It's like there's a low floor, but a high ceiling. Does that make sense? Am I talking gibberish?
Well, taste is like in the eye of the beholder kind of thing, right? So
sure.
Your enjoyment is going to be dependent on you. That does not necessarily mean if you have quote unquote refined taste, you will not be able to like anything but the best stuff, right? That's not necessarily how that works. That basically means that you have kind of pigeonholed your taste in a certain way where you're only engaging with anime in a very specific manner.
Yeah.
And stuff
and
is
it's
not.
Like, I only
want to
watch something if it's going to be the greatest of all time, where it's like, for us, it's like, no, you know, we don't go into stuff with that kind of expectation, because I don't know, it just kind of feels unfair a lot of the time. We go into the with the expectation, or really the desire, that something is going to be enjoyable to watch. That's not necessarily a high, like, you know, thing to meet, but
that's because we enjoy just watching it. Like, it's
right,
we like anime,
and we're able to like process stuff in a certain way where, you know, I don't know, maybe we pick up on stuff or think about things in like a way that someone who is just very casually into anime isn't.
It's, well, you know, you get like the people that post, why don't they make anime like Cowboy Bebop anymore? Or they'll post like just the Toonami lineup or whatever. It's like Wolf's Rain, Bebop, FMA, Lane, Kino. It's like there's, I can agree to an extent that those are great shows. Mm-hmm. There are still really good shows that are airing. Like,
yeah,
there's only like 2-3 shows, including movies, a year that are like close to the level of these like classics. But was always the case.
That's always been the case. And it's like, you know, something does not need, at least for us, something does not need to reach that level in order to be worth watching. If you're someone who is just engaging with anime very like tacitly, like for, we are anime guys. This is like what our primary like media that we consume. But if you're like a movie person or someone who's into video games or whatever the hell, books, you know, maybe you're not going to be as voracious when like looking for stuff to watch, and you're just very content with, you know, only watching the stuff that has already been confirmed to be really, really good. Whereas, I don't know, we're more like on the vanguard in terms of like looking for stuff and propping stuff up that we think is really good before it becomes established as such.
Yeah. The thing with those kind of shows is those are the shows you've already been told are good. You might have assessed that you thought they were good when you watched them yourself, but that was under the pretext that they were already good. Like, you didn't watch something that you had zero knowledge or context of and then decide, well, this is actually really good on the level of Mushishi.
And for those shows to get as such, they were initially watched by people who were just paying, like people who were just actively going out of their way to watch new things that are coming out. If, you know, you go back to like 2007, and you have the same kind of person who's like, they don't make anime like Gunbuster or Ideon anymore. Maybe you're not going to like hear about like Gurren Lagann until like well after the fact, whereas someone who is actively tuned into what is coming out in 2007 is going to be like the person that ends up shilling it to you as a result.
And we've probably bitched about it numerous times, but there's always been like a whipping boy every kind of, I don't want to say generation, but every kind of like cycle of anime, I guess. Like, it's isekai
it
now.
Like it's a Mayan calendar.
I'm thinking of like the Zelda cycle or something. Like, as people kind of like age out of anime and new people come in, there's like tropes and stuff that was like new to the people before, but now it is like something that was already established as being kind of like this thing that's there and is kind of popular. And they're like, ugh, this is getting annoying.
It was getting annoying. Like, it was like Sword Art Online for the longest time. It was like a specific show. For a while there, it was like, what was it? Rent-A-Girlfriend. Now I feel like it's kind of, there's like a counterforce in the universe where Solo Leveling is really popular. A lot of people hype up Solo Leveling. And then you have this kind of like, you know, wave of, I don't want to say contrarianism, but people are like very vocally hating on it, and people who like Solo Leveling.
I'm thinking of just like general trends as far as like isekai was the punching bag for still
like genres,
today.
Isekai still is. It's been the punching bag for close to 10 years now, it feels like.
Before that was moe shit.
Moe pigs, battle harem shit.
Harem anime was before that. It's just there's always been something. Maybe not in the 80s. There probably was. I mean
we can like, at least in terms of stuff we can confirm in terms of like English speaking spaces, like you go back to the 90s, people are shitting on new anime still being like Sailor Moon or whatever the hell. They don't make it classic anime, and they were specifically holding up like shows from like the late 70s early 80s as being like the classics while they were in the era of like Evangelion and Ghost in the Shell and all this stuff. And it's like,
I mean, best we could do is like point to fucking Miyazaki shitting on shit like Yamato and
Miyazaki is like the timeless hater of like anime needs to go back to like the 1960s and 50s with like those like old toy Douga movies.
Yeah.
For him, like Tezuka is like the person who ruined anime.
I don't know if people really like think about how much that impacts their perception of anime. It's like, yeah, those are great shows, but there are like other good shows that aired around the same time that you were not watching, and then there are great shows that are airing now that were just as good as those shows that you're watching. Like,
and it's like, in, you know, however many years it takes for like stuff to like time to go by. Like, I mean, I feel like Frieren has kind of like already been established as like a modern classic, like a defining anime of the era, certainly. You can tell to a certain extent in the moment just based on like the kind of reaction. If something elicits like a very strong reaction in people in that moment,
I could tell Shinsekai Yori and Sunny Boy and stuff. Like, I could tell those were going to be remembered
more more niche, like critical darlings. But then there's stuff like, do you remember when like Darling of the Franks was coming out and it was like fucking unavoidable? And now it's, I mean, it. people don't really talk about it anymore. It has no real cultural cachet as an original. Maybe it still does a little bit. Like if you go on like TikTok, you'll still see people like shilling it.
But occasionally, yeah.
For comparison, like I think Violet Evergarden came out in the same year as Frank's, and I don't know. I feel like that has like a lot has had a lot more staying power, and is something people will still
People continuously recommend in like a boring anime chart, and I'm like, really, yeah, like. Like, and it's not boring and like, oh, I fall asleep, but like boring in like the boring taste in anime thing. Where it's like,
yeah, it's like, oh, you like things that are safe, good, or whatever. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like fucking Violet Evergarden.
Because like, okay. I mean, like for us, those are shows that are kind of like before our time, like a Technolize or something like that. Whereas like, and I remember when Violet Evergarden was coming out, and I remember saying, and I will still stand by this take, that it is fine.
I like it.
It is okay.
Yeah, it has really good episodes, and then got some really dumb shit, like the Chuni.
Some really dumb, like, actual plot.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that it's now, like, kind of become, like, not just a classic anime, but, like, a stereotypically, like cliche classic anime, almost. Which, I mean, I think it's fair to say something that came out in, like, 2017 would be, like, a classic anime, because, like, when I started watching anime in like 2013, something like Gurren Lagann, which was like 6 years old at that point, was already established as like this big classic, and shit, Violet Evergarden's older than that now.
I mean, hell, back in 2004-ish, Bebop was seen as a classic, and that was only 6 years old.
That was like 5-6 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't think people really think about that kind of time frame thing, because like...
No, yeah, because we lived it, so like there's a weird sort of, we have a different perception of time than people who, you know, let's say got into anime like 2020, 2021 during like the COVID pandemic, and they're going to be then, you know, coming in after the entire decade of the 2010s, which we basically just witnessed firsthand.
Yeah, ping pong
them,
that's is
going
a classic
to be
for
like
them.
Yeah, and then for like, you know, the 2010s is going to be like history, basically.
Is weird.
And yeah, whatever, you know, and then, you know, whoever gets into anime in 2031, the 2020s now, what we're watching now is going to be history. And they're, you know, people are probably going to be talking about, you know, like a good example this season would probably be like, I feel like G-Quux, just based on the amount of hype that I've seen around it, the amount of fan art I've seen around it, just the general like communal response to it, is going to be a show that people are generally going to point to as like a pretty like defining classic of like the mid 2020s. I'd say maybe I'm speaking too soon and it completely shits the bed. But it does have that kind of like feel to it. Whereas like in, you know, like someone who gets into anime in 2030 for them, while for us right now, it's going to be, it is just like, oh, this is currently airing anime. For someone, you know, getting into anime in 2030, it's going to be like, oh, this established classic with prestige to it. I mean, that's what Frieren's going to become. It's, you know, you can already call that same way. Probably Orb as well, honestly.
I mean, it's the thing we always say where it's like some anime is always somebody's first anime. Like,
yeah.
Someone is always getting into anime. Someone probably got into the anime with some random shit. Like, you never
know. Do you imagine someone's first anime being that fucking AI thing?
That'd be kind of funny, actually.
That'd be kind of fun. Someone's first anime was Momentary Lily.
Probably some tech bro that, who like is really into AI shit. That could be literally their first anime.
They heard, they got into it like, oh, well, I, you know, Ghibli AI stuff. Oh, they made an AI, complete AI anime? Let's go watch that. And they've never seen a Ghibli movie in their life.
Look what technology is able to accomplish.
Part of the reason we watch so many anime is because, like, well, for an anime to become acclaimed eventually, it needs to be acclaimed at some point, you know? Like, people do need to be watching it as it comes out and talking about it and hyping it up, and then that can build into a reputation over time. But if no one's doing that, if everyone is just focusing on what is already, like, established, it becomes almost like this kind of, you know, I'm not going to move until you move, and you know, you're not going to move until I move, like, and nothing ever happens, basically.
There's a
someone needs
of that.
To basically be on like the front lines, sifting through stuff and hyping things up.
Yeah, there's a layer of that. I don't necessarily watch all the seasons we watch for that reason. There's a level to it. It's more like I don't trust other people to tell me if something is good or not. Because, you know, there's something like, I always use the example of like Creepy Glory Orange Road, where it's like, that is the show that everyone's kind of always been like, oh, it's the weakest of the three.
Of the big three between, what is it?
Masonikoku, Touch, and Orange Road.
Yeah.
It's the weakest of the three. Touch is the most mature. It kind of is garbage because it does all this like sci-fi stuff. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So that's kind of the perception I had. And then I watch it after watching Touch and Masonikoku, which I like both those shows. But Orange Road ended up being like my favorite of the three by a pretty wide margin. And I'm like, why was I listening to these fucking people?
Well, I guess that kind of, I mean, that kind of begs the question though. Cause like, I don't disagree. Like, I don't know. I think like the idea of determining what you are going to watch, like based on like the My Anime List, like ratings in terms of like, oh, what is the average score, or, oh God forbid, My Anime List reviews, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. To me, that seems just absurd, honestly. Like, I do not trust that kind of stuff. I will trust people in, like, my general circle that if I hear something really being hyped up, really being, like, people are like, people, oh, yeah, you know, really goddamn good. Yeah. People I know whose taste I understand, not faceless assholes.
I don't generally listen to negative unless I've already kind of had an inclination towards that. So, like, what's a good example?
Someone saying don't watch this.
Yeah, if I'm like, I see the Elf, the Atelier show this season or whatever, right? I look at that and I'm kind of like, that doesn't look like it's gonna be all that great.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's like, oh, I watched it, and I, especially if I know that they like that kind of show generally, and then if they turn around, they're like, I watched it, I really didn't like it. I'm like, yeah, I got the gauge that I probably wouldn't like it. So I would be more inclined to listen to that. I will say, though, even when y'all went and watched fucking Teonoga or whatever without me, I still went and just checked that out.
Teagonia.
Yeah. Like, I still went and watched that out. But granted, I had to do that for the fucking video. But
Right. Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not.
It's just like, whatever.
I was whelmed, I guess.
Yeah.
But that kind of begs the question, though. If we don't trust other people, how can we expect other people to trust us?
I don't.
You can't say that, Mumi.
I like talking about things in a positive way that gives like my perspective. Sorry, my perspective the show. Because I kind of find value in seeing other people's perspectives that are, you know, positive generally. Like sometimes if they're negative, I can get value out of that, but it's not a lot of time. It's just like a disconnect where it's like, I don't like the show because I thought it looked bad or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. Awesome. That's your experience, whatever.
And if we're like giving like a negative, like we just did this, like the last episode, and like, we just recommended a bunch of stuff and then also didn't gave like ostensibly negative recommendations to stuff, even though we liked it. And it's like, even if we're doing that, if we're saying, you know, not recommending something, giving it a thumbs down, we still try to like describe it and what the appeal is. So that way someone listening to this, who is a presumably fully functional adult with agency and can think for themselves, can then, you know, hear that and then, I don't know, just decide for themselves, basically.
Yeah, well, it's also like a matter of like, I recognize that there are people that will engage with stuff differently, right? So there are people that do find value in getting recommendations from people like us who are watching so many shows. So they might be like, okay, well, these people are watching 20 shows this season. This is the stuff they thought was really worth watching,
informed opinion in terms of what is coming out right now,
which is almost relatively flawed in itself, because if we're watching 20 shows, we're going to have a different perspective of than people that watch two shows. Right.
So, and then that person who watches like two, three shows may then hear like, our top recommendations of the season and just go with that. And yeah, we still potentially end up missing out on, like, you know, something else that they may have very well enjoyed as a result, because, well, you know, we may still have liked it. It may not be at our top, but they may get more out of it than we did.
Yeah, like most people that are watching two or three shows are probably watching Solo Leveling or fucking Apothecary Diaries. So then, like,
My Hero Academia Vigilantes.
Yeah, I'm talking about like last season. So then, like, us, like, recommending Medalist and Zenshu or something, and they're just like, what?
What?
And like, those people that like Apothecary Diaries and Solo Leveling might not like those shows. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of just different perspectives and taste, which is why I do get value out of that.
And people will, like, probably, I mean, odds are if someone's listening to this podcast, there's a decent probability that, like, they probably generally align with us in terms of, like, our perspective.
At least and, somewhat. Like,
yeah, you know, in terms of, like, being, I guess, more... relatively more open-minded. I don't want to say like you need to be super open-minded and into anime in order to enjoy Medalist. I feel like it's a pretty damn accessible show. You could show anyone or they would enjoy, but you know, so it's not like, although I did see it's like one of the best-selling manga last month, so it's definitely climbing up there in terms of like popularity. So
it's job,
but it's not like it's still not like a Solo Leveling. It's not going to have that same kind of appeal of, and this is something that people legitimately look for. You could go onto like forums and Reddit and stuff and see people literally ask for, I want a show with a badass main character who wins all the fights and kicks ass and stuff, to which we then of course recommend them Fist of the North Star. And not Solo level. If Fist of the North Star is the original Solo Leveling, where it is driven solely by hype moments and aura. Is Ken the original aura farmer movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I've already made my distaste of Fist of the North Star well known.
And would you say that distaste extends to Solo Leveling?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I like it more.
For me, they're both just kind of like, I probably like Fist of the North Star a bit more, but they're both just kind of like, I don't dislike them. I just get precisely zero out of them. I'm just kind of like,
I probably have more respect for Fist of the North Star in the sense of like,
it does have like a legacy attached to it.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Provenance.
And the kind of like transparency of, I forget what his name, it's not Bronson. That's the artist, the writer, whoever the writer's name is, being just like, oh yeah, this is like my power fantasy because I see like shit happening every day that I can't do anything to like stop or prevent or whatever. So this is just me living out my fantasies. It's like, that's a respectable position to have.
That's interesting. That's also kind of, that's not exactly dissimilar to like a lookism or a viral hit, because those are both written by the same guy and have a similar sort of like ethos to them.
What we're saying is Fist of the North Star is just lookism, 1980s but... anime viral hit or lookism.
Yeah, so if you like those shows, go watch Fist of the North Star.
Actually, don't watch Fist of the North Star. Just read it.
No, it's really long. Yeah, just read it. It looks really beautiful, honestly.
The manga's fucking like, art is like great. Like I wanted to like the manga much more than I did, purely because like the art is so good. But there's a lot of problems, and all the problems usually get like written off by people like, oh well, that's the third arc, or that's the second arc, that's third arc, I don't we don't acknowledge those, like that's part of the series. I don't know what to tell you.
It's like, I mean, that's the trouble that comes with me like trying to like recommend, especially like the new seasons of Kinnikuman, which have been really damn good, honestly, to the point that it's like I want to recommend them to people because they do kind of like work as standalone things. Like you don't need to have seen the prior seasons necessarily, but kind of like similar to like what we were talking about earlier with like the first Slam Dunk. While you can watch them just on their own, having that prior context definitely adds a lot to the experience. The problem is then having to recommend like 100 episode like Slam Dunk or Kinnikuman, when the appeal, especially for Kinnikuman, like is very different from what like the appeal of the new like seasons have been.
Right.
Like Kinnikuman is very we'll say skibbity toilet humor for a lot of it. And then just, I mean, the new season is also perpetual like tournament arcs. That's just what Kinnikuman is, but still your mileage may vary regarding that, especially in terms of it, like Kinnikuman himself, Suguru just making shitty jokes constantly, even as like a character just died.
Yeah.
So that's always like a struggle when recommending stuff like that.
Plus you just don't really, we can't judge your taste. Unless I know you, I'm never going to be able to like give you a specified recommendation based on anything.
We could do that. I mean, they do like podcast episodes and stuff where it's like, we're roasting our viewers' taste or whatever. And people like,
yeah, but that's like, different from giving like, recommendations.
I guess. Yeah.
Like that's like looking at a page and be like, oh, you like this. That's fucking dumb. That's, you know, in good fun. Yeah, or whatever.
But you gave this a 7, but this a 4. Were you dropped on your head as a baby?
My favorite recommendation is recommending, someone in our server, Zen, Yuyushiki. Because I knew,
oh god, that broke his brain.
It broke his brain. It was ended up being his like favorite anime. It was like one that I didn't like all that much, but I could. It was just like I knew him enough, and like I was familiar with the show, where I was like able to like take something that no one would recommend to him outside of like me, right? Like, is
you don't even really like Yuyushiki.
It has fans. Like, it still gets like threads and shit occasionally. I'm not saying it's like the most obscure thing. Yeah, well, I don't like Yuyushiki all that much. Like, I think it was, like, fine, but, like, it was just, like, whatever, I guess. I pieced together, I was like, I think you would like this show. It ended up being, like, one of his favorite anime. And it's, like, that's the kind of recommendation I like to give, where it's, like, I'm able to, like, parse something about you and, like, your taste or personality that I'm able to, like, piece something together and be like, hey, I think you'd like this. This seems like something that would be up your alley. Like when I tell you to watch Samurai Flamenco or something.
Yeah, trying to look at stuff that, like, even if you dislike it, look at it beyond, like, the sort of perspective of, like, is this good? Is this bad? Do I like it or not? And try and be like, would this person enjoy it or not?
Yeah.
That's like situations where, like, I recommend someone like Grisaia or, like, a Symphogear, you know, because I'm not necessarily the biggest fans of those things, but I can definitely see what someone would like about them, and generally give like some sort of assessment on that, and then kind of.
It's hard to do because like a lot of times it can be very specific, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I don't like something, it's probably because I didn't jive with it on the exact level that someone that would like it does.
Right. Yeah.
So then being able to like parse through and figure out like, oh, this is what people liked about it, I think this person likes stuff for this reason, like it's not a very like cut and dry thing, even though like you could summarize it in a way that sounds that way, it really is not. Like the amount of different factors that go into like what determines is if something is like appeals to you or is like up your alley as far as like what it's doing or even as like interests you in general is pretty multifaceted in a way that it's hard to like part. Like it's not like sometimes, yeah, it's like, oh, I like really schlocky stuff. Hey, you probably like Grisaia.
It's also like a matter of like, you can also be wrong. You can also just completely like whiff something.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, like that's going to happen.
Yeah. But for context, for anyone listening in our server, we do have this kind of like anime recommendation roulette game that's been going for the past however many years now. I'm honestly surprised it's still going. People still do that. It's really cool.
It has its own community, which is fucking funny.
Yeah, it's like there are people who only post in the roulettes channel in our Discord. It's really funny.
I'll go look in there sometimes. I'm like, I don't even know who this person is. They've been posting here for 2 years. Who this person,
they probably don't even know about our podcast. Let's be real. And it's like, we did that like at the start for a bit. And it's like, yeah, personally, I try to like go through someone's like anime list and recommend them things that I thought they would like. And sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't work. So it's, you know, sometimes, you know, even though I feel like my rationale would be solid, it's like, oh, this person liked X, Y, and Z, and they would probably like Ida Tentachi. And then, you know, I recommend them. I show that to them a bunch. And then, you know, they end up fucking hating it. I'm sorry, Gluten. I'm sorry I suggested that to you if you're listening to this.
My favorite
recommendation. If someone listening to this knows Gluten, let him know I said I'm sorry.
My favorite recommendation was actually Bono Bono, which is, I mean, it's a series, but like, it was, I got recommended specifically the movie. And I didn't like the movie. I gave it a pretty poor score, but it's my favorite recommendation because it was like one where they were actually trying to like find something that was like off the beaten path I would enjoy. Because like a lot of time, like the reason why I stopped doing that roulette thing was because people were just kind of going through my list and then recommending me stuff that I already planned on watching. And like, I just, the only reason I have it is just because I haven't got around to feeling like I wanted to watch it. And like, this wasn't like a, it wasn't a utility thing where I was like, oh, this will get me to like have an excuse to watch it. It was just like, given the expectation, I should just now watch it and force myself. And I'm like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I was wanting like stuff that I had not heard of, which I'm not,
it's,
you're not getting much anymore.
No. Well, I mean, that's kind of also why we watch so many seasonals, is the stuff that we have not heard of, the things that are new for us at our point in our like anime journey or whatever the fuck you want to call it, whatever that Giga video is titled, is like the new stuff for us now are the things that are coming out, the things that are literally new that we could not have seen before, could not have heard before. Those are what end up being the most exciting, because like there's so many stuff that like comes to our, you know, comes to across our desk now and just literally has zero like, you know, reputation. We go in with zero expectations, no idea what's going on, no idea what it's about. And we then just find gems and are like, holy shit.
And then you get people that are like, yeah, this season's fucking sucks. And we're like, what?
Like, how? Did you watch anything? They're like, no. And we're like, well, there's a problem here.
I looked at the posters
here
and I saw nothing that interests me. It's like, what?
It's like, oh, well, it's like, you know that we like, they're like in our server and it's like, you know that we're like, we like watch everything, right? You could come like,
try it.
You could come watch stuff with us. You're allowed to do that. And like, no, nah, I don't wanna. Oh, I guess that's on you then. I guess that's kind of the other thing, is like, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. There are some people who are just going to write off anything that is made after the year of our Lord 2000, just heuristically, basically.
It's just, I don't know, it's weird. Like, you look at something like Euphorma this season, and by any metric, people that just don't watch seasonals, I can see them just completely writing the show off, right? Because you look at it.
People are like, oh, this is like Diet, Ghost in the Shell.
No, not even that. Like, you look at it and it's like, oh, this looks like some dancing anime or some shit because of the poster. And it's Euphorma. It's like Euphorma. And it's like 6.53. This must be garbage. And then you like watch it and it's just like, oh, this is like the closest thing to Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex as there's ever been since Standalone Complex. Including
Standalone Complex.
Including the new CGI Standalone Complex. Like, I have no idea why this is rated as low as it is. Like, I've literally,
well, like, you know,
boggles my mind.
I mean, I feel like, I don't know about you, Mumi. When I was like in kindergarten, I had the lesson of you cannot judge a book by its cover. Fucking beaten it, like literally beat, like a teacher threw me against a wall, beaten into my head. And that's like, I don't know. That's, I feel like that's something people still just kind of do, which to a certain extent, fine, but you can watch whatever you want, but you can't really make much of you can't make like a really good judgment on that show just based on that.
No,
like
you're basically just judging the art style based on like a poster, unless you'd watch the trailer, and it's just like,
okay. There is an appreciable quality in being able to admit you were wrong about, like, you had the wrong impression of something going in that people just kind of forget can happen, basically. And, you know, to a certain extent, you could say, well, they're only interested in watching stuff that they know they'll like, and they only want to watch stuff that they will really, really, really like, and that's stuff they can generally just tell on first blush. Sure. I mean, but then, you know, they may like kind of be just, you know, putting themselves into a little bit of a box, painting themselves into a corner, you know, not necessarily, you know, branching out of their comfort zone. Maybe they watch something that they didn't think they would enjoy, and they ended up really loving it. And then they go on, and, you know, that's how people get into anime in general, is like, they didn't think they would like anime. They watched a couple anime and they're like, damn, anime is really good. I'm going to watch more anime.
Not everybody.
And then that just doesn't get applied to like specific like genres.
Yeah.
What are we saying?
People do stupid shit with genre. Like the whole fucking like, oh, I don't like mecha. There are no good mecha except for Code Geass and Gurren Lagann. It's like, what?
What does that mean?
Well, the other mecha are about like, you know, politics. It's like, well, sure, but not like exclusively. Like,
yeah.
If you like Code Geass, there's really no reason you would not like Gundam. You just like,
yeah.
You've heard people express like they liked an aspect of that show that's not maybe present in Code Geass, and then you're assuming that that is the only thing present in that show. It's like, no.
Yeah.
There are plenty of reasons.
So like, for us, like, part of like why we at least, you know, we do, like, even if we don't pick up everything in a season, we do try everything that is like new in a season, at least that we can. There have been a couple shows this season that are just aren't like subbed.
Miru.
And we would like to watch them, but we just can't. Yeah, Miru, Hanadol, yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, that sucks. If they're not subbed, I mean, what are we going to do? We're not exactly raw anime guys. Neither was no Japanese that well.
I could watch it raw. It just depends on how complicated it is. I would only be able to pick up maybe like, if it was really complicated, like 20 to 30%. If it's just like very simple slice of life, maybe like 40, 50 ish.
Yeah. It's like, I could not watch your forma raw. I would be completely lost.
You're just dropping like all these made up technical terms you have no context for. You're like, I don't know what that means. And I'm never going to be able to figure this out.
So we do try to practice what we preach in that regard, in terms of like, we go into each season generally unprejudicial, and it's like, okay, whatever, you know, we may look at something and go, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then we watch the first episode and we're like, God damn, this, you know, Once Upon a Witch's Death show is really goddamn good. Holy shit.
Yeah, I had zero expectations about that show.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the reason we watch so many seasonals, is like, we like to be surprised by stuff that we, you know, there are things that we like, oh, yeah, the new Gundam. It's probably going to be good.
Probably
going to
be good.
I went into 2B Hero X, being fairly familiar with all the promotional material that have come out for like the past however many years now. I went into that being like, yeah, it's probably going to look really damn good. And I was right. But then, you know, we go into a show like, I don't know, what's the fucking...
Paco's Hotel?
Apocalypse Hotel or the Alien Cat show.
Oh, the Mew,
things like that.
Mew or whatever.
Yeah, like even Apocalypse Hotel, like the day or two before we had ended up watching it, there had already been some discussion about it in our community, like some hype going around. I had seen like in other Discord servers as well. But then it's like, you know, something that just then like Mono would be another example. I saw like the trailer for Mono and I was like, yeah, that's going to be a fucking guaranteed lock. That's not...
Well, see, my impression of Mono was just based on my impression of Yuru Camp, essentially. Where I'm like, oh, it's probably going to be around this because it's the same author, you know? And Yuru Camp was, like, not a bad by any means. It's, like, a fine...
Yeah.
It's about as good as I could anticipate an adaptation could be of that material or whatever. So it's like, oh, Mono's probably going to be around that same level. It'll be fine. And then Mono ended up being, like... better than Yuru Camp to me. So I'm just like, oh,
real honestly, shit. Yeah. Oh god, this or like what was it? Like from the show with like the worst name of the season, From Country Bumpkin to Master Swordsman.
Oh yeah.
Terrible name. Not really a very solid poster to sell us on, but we watched it and we're like, yeah, this is actually pretty nice. This is an interesting take on the sort of like overpowered fantasy character, where now he's just like, an old man that is just kind of like, yeah, you know, kids these days, you know, I try to do my best, you know. I don't know why my old man voice kind of just defaults almost into like a pastiche of George W. Bush, but.
Same with that Sword of the Demon Hunter, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's a weird situation where it's like we watch the first episode of that. And we're like, God damn, this is really edgy, and I hope it keeps up with that edgy tone. We watch episode two, and we're like, oh, it dialed it back. It was nowhere near as, like, edgy or angsty, you know, Linkin Park or whatever the hell.
Just turned into Witcher.
it turned into The Witcher and just was kind of a generally touching small story, basically. Yeah. It's like, okay.
But that's the thing.
It can do both, I guess.
You were never going to pick all this shit up. All these nuances, all these like different facets of these shows, you will never pick up by looking at it on My Anime List or scores or reading reviews. Because like, for one, you don't know these fucking people that you read reviews. Like,
no.
How do you know this fucking person? Like, let's go look.
Most of the big My Anime List reviewers too, and I'll say this on the record, that are assholes or fucking pricks who were buried up their own ass.
I will say, I've not talked to a lot of them, but everyone that I have that was like actually took it seriously was a fucking prick.
Yes.
They're like,
it's like weirdly narcissistic and it's like you write reviews on My Anime List.
They're like the type that like dismisses every single other person's opinion. They like liken other people talking about anime to being like the monkey people in 2001 A Space Odyssey flinging shit at each other, and they're like the fucking monolith just like
Jesus Christ
disconnected from them all, just observing. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, my anime list reviews in general suck. Anime List reviews on the other hand are honestly comparatively pretty nice, and actually kind of, you know, I generally prefer reading those if I'm going to be completely on. Annealist is just a better platform.
Your format has no reviews. I was going to see what. But.
My Annealist has like a weird thing with like reviews where they'll allow preliminary reviews, but then like the preliminary reviews get like shuffled off as soon as the season ends. And then everyone publishes their review as soon as the show ends, because then it's like marked as like a completed review, right, or whatever. And that's given priority, even if they didn't even watch like however many episodes, because they probably didn't watch the last episode or factor that into their review because they published it as soon as that like last episode came out, so they can be at the top of the chart.
But yeah, I don't know these people. Do you know these people? Can you trust that their opinion is worth, like, not to say that their opinion is worthless, but like, if it's a matter of deciding,
I can make judgments on their opinions by reading their reviews, and they leave me wanting. They have been found.
Part of
lacking.
That is like the fucking culture of writing reviews in general, right?
Oh yeah, everyone's buried up their own ass. Well, it's a similar thing. Like, I mean, we could literally do entire podcast episodes of just reading like ANN seasonal reviews and going like, what the fuck? Why are you like, I was reading like ANN reviews for that Country Bumpkin show, and it's just like they're treating like the quote unquote harem aspect, or like the fact there are like cute girls that like the main character, as like a negative just in and of itself, when it's like, no, I think that's like an appeal. I think that's like part of like what the show is supposed to be. Why are we acting like that's a negative?
Oh, it's like, it's one of those like level one, level two, level three things.
Mm.
It's like you're identifying something that is a problem in a lot of shows, but there's a level two identification where like level three is like, no, that's not inherently a problem.
Let's
in itself.
Actually talk about like what the show is doing and like whether or not it works, rather than like just focusing on, well, what the show is doing is bad. It's like, well, how well does it do that thing? Who does that thing appeal to? And based on that, should they watch it? That's like, I don't know. I feel like that's like the foundation of any sort of recommendation, is trying to identify who the show is for, who would like it, and whether or not they should actually like take time out of their day and go and check it out.
That's kind
of not like,
that's kind
does
of,
it measure up to the objective metric of quality?
That's kind of the problem I've kind of been running into with our seasonal impression video.
Mm-hmm.
In the set, like, it was mainly like last season when I was writing it, I kind of narrowed it down how I want to go about it. Mm-hmm. But it was the thing of like, I don't know how to convey best convey my experience with the show in a way that is like more universally applicable, right? That's why I've kind of like, because originally I was writing more negative reviews, and I don't mean that in the sense of like more, I was writing like negative reviews on like more shows. It was more like of the shows I felt had a negative opinion on, I was writing more reviews for them. But I got to a point where I was like, there's not really much value in me just like pointing out the things I didn't like about the show. I would rather like convey that experience in a way that like, yeah, it's you can say it's like kind of dunking on the show a little bit, but it is like conveying an experience where somebody that might enjoy that kind of thing could like maybe see that and be like, oh, well, that looks like something I might be interested in. Maybe I'll go see if it was as bad as they thought it was. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I find more,
it's like when I call like Lazarus Diet Cowboy Bebop, someone who really, really likes Cowboy Bebop and, you know, likes like, you know, really tight action choreography, jazz music, the soundtrack for the show is actually really goddamn good. They knocked it out of the park on that one. It's like,
yeah, that was good.
Like, I think Kamasi Washington was the one doing it.
But it's funny, cause even you saying that, like, I'm like, that was part of what I was, cause when I was doing one for Baja Neko last season, and I was like shitting on it, I'm like, why am I spending so much time conveying this? Like, I could just convey this through like the visuals or a joke or something and not come off as like asshole-ish about it. Cause like that was what I was running into. Cause I'm like, these things need to be like lighter. And it's like, I want to avoid doing the thing where it's like, you're just dunking on shows and not really saying anything of substance. But I think if like you were kind of alternating where it's like some of the shows are you're kind of making a joke about and some shows you're actually like saying something of substance and you can make it work.
That's also why we have this podcast. Let's be real. Like if we want to really get into like the nitty gritty and discuss something, like this is the platform to do it on where we can just be very long form. Unlike, you know, the seasonal videos, you know, we are just talking back and forth. Sometimes we disagree on stuff. Generally tend to agree, though, to there are like a fair amount of variance in terms of like if we both like something, one of us will probably like something much more than the other. So when it comes to like a video, it's kind of like you don't necessarily need to like get into like the nitty gritty nuances for everything and give like, you know, that sort of like really detailed kind of review opinion. Sometimes you really can just like make a quick joke. It's like, why should you watch My Hero Academia Vigilantes Pop Step? And if you need any other fucking reason, there's something wrong with you. You have a hole in your brain. Pop Step is perfect. She's the only reason you need to watch the show. Go watch the show for Pop Step.
Sometimes that's all you need is Pop Step.
Yeah.
You're talking about the opening for Shukuchara, right?
No. Is that the name of the opening for Shukuchara?
Pop Step Jumpo.
Oh, I need to watch Shukuchara, honestly.
Pop Step.
Like, that's a show. I watched like the first episode of it years ago, and I was like, God damn, this show seems really nice. I love the character designs of the show, honestly.
And oh, it's great.
I never came back to it.
I've been watching it way too slowly just because we watched so many seasonals, and that takes up so much more time.
That's kind of that. If anything, that is the one. That is the one critical flaw of us watching so many seasonals is we don't have enough time for other things, which is unfortunate. I mean, we still, you know, we're still watching like, you know, Master Keaton and Hayden Server. We're still watching like, you know, stuff on Saturdays, you know, be it a movie or some like OVAs that were picked out.
I mean, that kind of ties back into like why we watch seasonals. It's like, I'm kind of at the point where I've seen the majority of stuff that there is to go back and see. Like, yeah, there's still stuff I want to go back and watch, obviously.
There are still holes in the backlog, but those holes are shrinking rapidly.
As I said, like, ever since Legend of Galactic Heroes and Kaiji, I knocked those out back to back. Like, the pool that seemed so like void and endless before has shrunk to where it's like I can almost see the horizon. I'm like, oh, this does not seem as endless as it originally did.
And so now we're stuck in the brave new world of seasonal anime, you know, the new horizons, the next the next generation, and you know, whereas like people, you know, the only reason that Legend of Galactic Heroes is like has the status of like one of the greatest anime ever made is, again, people watched it initially, and you know, we are now the people who are watching things initially and holding them up as being really goddamn good.
Yeah,
you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants, Mumi.
Bad, the Nephilim?
Disgusting, greasy, balding, smelly giants.
Who? Who are you talking to?
Me.
Who are you talking about? Oh,
I was just reciting what I say to myself in the mirror every day.
Oh.
The kind of things that, like, as I'm walking to work, you know, the school children pass me and just, you know, say that to me. And I kind of just, like, stand and cry.
Fair. Fair, honestly, yeah.
A guy threw a beer bottle at me the other day because of that.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. That was a lie. That was a lie. Oh, it was actually a wine bottle.